Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. And may we be decreased in order that Christ might increase among us. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture reading for the morning, Psalm 127, has often been a puzzle to readers and to interpreters because there seems to be two separate poems, two separate verses. One is about the provision of God in all things, and then the second is the blessing of children. And many have suggested they are simply two separate psalms, two separate verses, two different hymns that got put together in the book and they landed beside each other. And there's also a question of translation in the final line of the first verse or first half. So listen this morning to these two separate texts, and I will point out the translation question in the middle. Psalm 127, a song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guard keeps watch in vain. It is in vain you rise up early and go late to rest and eating the bread of anxious toil. For he, and here's the translation question, for he, God, gives sleep to his beloved, or God gives to his beloved in sleep while they're sleeping. And then the shift. Sons are indeed a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons of one's youth. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. He shall put to shame when he speaks with his, he shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Two distinct verses in this psalm, two stanzas. One a reflection on God's provision in the midst of our daily task of building and watching and working. And then God's provision of children. And perhaps you hear the connection there, that the primary example of God's providence, well, it could be children. We build, we watch, we work, but there's the blessing of family. Now remember that this is in ancient times, in a day when there's not an in-depth understanding of human conception. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that a child is conceived. A fairly repeatable miracle, one that we have some part in most cases. But a childless wife was spoken of as barren. And there was some shadow of God over their lives. Somehow it was their fault. This amazing gift of God, conception, yes, in most cases. 20 years ago, when word got out in my former congregation that we were going to adopt a child, there was a lot of warm-hearted interest in the congregation. It was kind of a buzz going on. But there was also a bit of curiosity beyond interest. Yeah, well, let me explain. Once when I was out of the office, a church member, a woman, stopped in, and she was fishing for information about what the Penders were doing after having two birth children, now adopting a third child. But her most direct attempt at information went this way. Isn't it a shame that Sherry can't have any more children? As if there was a female problem. My church administrator wanted to say, how do you know the problem isn't William in the equation? Like our current church office staff, she knew when it was best just to nod and keep silence. Though she did enjoy telling me about it later. But today we're not to approach Psalm 127 with the questions of barrenness and the shadow of God, whether male or female. No, our perspective this morning is set for the theme for today and for the next several Sundays in the lectionary readings. And that's time. God's amazing gift of time. We spent most of the month of October, of course, talking about stewardship, which for many that's a code word for money. But you know, time is much more important, much more valuable. Some of you remember the old Jack Benny routine. A comedian of a former generation who played the persona of the cheapskate, the real tightwad. He couldn't let go of money, a penny pincher to the nth degree. And the scene is this: a thug accosts Jack Benny with a gun and says, "Your money or your life? This is a stick up." And there's a pause. The thug says with exasperation, "I said, bud, your money or your life?" And Jack Benny says, "I'm thinking it over. Money or life?" The humor in the situation, of course, is the recognition we get confused about what's vital and what's important. After all, our house is important, isn't it? I mean, our house is important. But generations of the people of Israel lived in tents, had no houses. The text says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Surely security is important. That's why we have fire alarms, isn't it? That's why we have alarms on our homes. We lock our doors. We build better bombs. What do we call stocks and bonds? They're securities. But the text says, unless the Lord watches over the city, those who watch, those who keep guard, watch in vain. And then, of course, there's work. We can work it out, can't we? Can't we get what we want through work? Do I really have to point out? Do I really have to point out the ways work fails us? The person who's had a dream that her dream in life is to have a craft shop, and she'll make homemade dolls and she'll sell them, and this will be her life. And the economy says, no, thank you, and she goes bankrupt. The well-established company says, we're done. And faithful employees are out of luck. The person who works for 40 years to make it to the golden years of retirement only to hear, sir, the tests have come back, the tumor is malignant, this will be your last Christmas. Here's the way the text puts it. It is in vain you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for God gives sleep to his beloved, or God gives to his beloved in sleeping, while they sleep. Work is not the final answer either. What's really important? Not our house, not our efforts at security, not our labor. No, it's the provision by God. And the greatest provision by God is time. God gives us time. Here's what's going on in this text. God gives to us while we're sleeping, while we're not working, while we're not watching, while we're not building. God gives beforehand, before all the frenetic activity that makes our lives. To understand this more clearly, it's helpful to understand the Hebrew conception of a day. Of a day, of that basic element of time. You and I typically speak of our day beginning in the morning. We want to get a first start on the day. We speak of the dawn as daybreak, day breaking in. But the Hebrew conception of the day is not that at all. When do your Jewish friends gather for Sabbath? Friday evening. Because the Sabbath doesn't begin on Saturday morning, it begins Friday night. The day begins with evening. You may recall that Genesis chapter 1 story of creation, how it says there was evening and morning the first day. There was evening and morning the second day. How would we have said that? We would have said, oh, there's morning and there's evening. That's a day. No. The Hebrew conception of a day is it begins with evening. When no work can be done. Remember, this is the day before electric lights and very few oil lamps. Night meant stopping everything. Everything stops except God. God works through the night. You see, when we wake up early and start early, God has already been at work hours before we got there. And remember the question of translation here. Both alternatives fit. God gives his beloved sleep. What a gift it is to be able to sleep. We have a few practicing the gift now. I couldn't resist. But go without sleep, and you know what a gift it is. But I think the more likely translation is this: God gives to his beloved in sleep, during sleep, while they're sleeping, God is building, watching, working, creating, sustaining. Here's the faith point for today. God's gift of time always comes with what theologians call prevenient grace. Prevenient. It's just a fancy word for saying something that comes beforehand. Prevenient. The coming of grace beforehand. Our work of building, protecting, forming families, it all depends on prevenient grace. While we were sleeping. While we were unaware. While we had no responsibility, God was working. And the greatest misunderstanding of life is that it's all up to us. When God has been working beforehand. Now, I want to be clear. Faith is not about being irresponsible. But it is not all up to us. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, those who guard watch in vain. Build, watch, work, form relationships, but it is not all up to us. All too often we live our lives in what the writer Parker Palmer calls functional atheism. He says people of faith regularly practice functional atheism. We give lip service to our faith, but then we make our decisions based on what we really want to happen. And even when we believe in God, trust that God will do the right thing, we know it really comes down to, it depends on me. You got to do it yourself. Palmer writes, "This belief that the ultimate responsibility for everything rests with me, it's with those people who affirm there's a higher power than themselves, but their behavior betrays their belief. It's that unconscious belief that leads to workaholic behavior, to burnout, to stress and strained broken relationships, to unhealthy priorities. Functional atheism is the reason why the average group, according to studies, can tolerate only 15 seconds of silence. People believe if they're not making noise, nothing is happening. God's greatest gift is time. And before any of us can waste time, enjoy time, fulfill time, God was at work. Prevenient grace, the coming beforehand of the work of God, the handiwork of God in all our building, all our watching, all our laboring, all our family raising. Let me give you a parable of what I'm addressing. Old man Mr. Ferry Geddes was a beloved member of the congregation. He just saw things that needed to be done. A light bulb was out in the church building. He just replaced it. The hinge creaked. He oiled it. After worship, he wandered around and made sure all the doors were locked. He did those kind of things that no one paid any attention to except when they didn't happen. You know, when you turned on the light switch and the light bulb didn't come on. And the doors that were supposed to be locked weren't locked. Or you came in on a Sunday morning, on a cold Sunday morning, and the heat had not been turned on. One Sunday after worship, when I was one of the last ones to leave, I saw Ferry Geddes trying to get his car started. And I could see it because this is what I saw. Here he was, old Mr. Geddes, sitting in his car, driver's seat, with the driver door open. And his left leg was out the door on the ground. And I could see he was pushing really hard with that left leg. Some of you already here. This is a manual transmission. Mr. Geddes did not drive automatic transmission. He wanted to change the gears. And the way you can crank a standard transmission, a manual transmission, is you can hold the clutch in and get the car rolling, and once it's rolling, pop the clutch and the car will crank up. I could see Mr. Geddes was trying to crank his car on a flat road. I yelled out, "I got jumper cables." He was deaf as a doorpost, didn't hear. So I simply went behind his car. He's still pushing with all his worth. And I got behind the car and I began to push. And all of a sudden his left leg started to move. It started to move that car. And the car started rolling down the street. He popped the clutch and drove away. He never knew I was behind the car. Friends, too often we think our time is up to us and we've got that left foot out the door and we are pushing for all we're worth, unaware of God's great push. That's why our time in worship is never wasted. Whether we sing the right hymns or not, whether we have the right music or not, whether the service goes too long or not, because it's at worship we pause and we remember. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor build in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, those who keep guard watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For God gives to his beloved in sleep. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we give you thanks for the pause to remember time and to remember behind all time is you, the giver. Bless, O God, our time of building, of laboring, of guarding, of raising, that our lives will reflect you, the great giver of all. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.